Good morning. My name is Melissa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Vesta's first quarter 2015 earnings conference call. Vesta issued its quarterly report on Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact the company at +52 55 59 50 0070. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. All figures included herein were prepared in accordance with the IFRS and are stated in nominal U.S. dollars unless otherwise noted. Joining us today from Vesta in Mexico City is Lorenzo Berho, the Chief Executive Officer and Chairman, Juan Sottil, the CFO, and Iga Wolska, the Investor Relations Officer. And now I will turn the call over to Mr. Berho. Sir, please begin.
Thank you, Melissa, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for your interest in Vesta and for participating in today's conference call. I am delighted to share our strong first quarter results, which are a testament of implementation of the Vesta Vision 2020 growth strategy, following our successfully equity offering in January. With the energy reforms in progress, Mexican companies are preparing for greater competition in the electricity market in 2016 and the oil and gas market in 2017, both of which will position our country as a manufacturing powerhouse. A reduction in energy costs is an extremely important factor in increasing Mexico's competitiveness. So this event should attract even more world-class foreign companies to the country. Mexico's appeal to global manufacturing giants is already clear from record automotive industry production and exports last year. Looking ahead, Mexico is expected to become one of the top five global manufacturers by 2020, according to the Mexican Automotive Industry Association. Recent announcements by Toyota and Ford that they will invest $3.5 billion to build factories in the country are consistent with this outlook. Additionally, these investments will further strengthen the auto parts sector in the original equipment manufacturer's supply chain, reinforcing Mexico's position as the fourth largest exporter globally. Vesta is well positioned to capture increased demand in the booming automotive sector. We recently signed a contract to acquire additional land reserves in the Polígono Empresarial San Miguel de Allende Industrial Park, cementing an earlier agreement. As part of our plan to reinforce our presence in the Bajío region, we will invest approximately $170 million in the state of Guanajuato by 2018. Along with the acquisition of more land to meet increasing demand for industrial space in this market. Turning to our operational and financial results, the first quarter of 2015 has positioned Vesta for another year of impressive growth. We expanded GLA by 4.7% to 17.6 million square feet versus the fourth quarter. Despite this expansion, the vacancy rate declined to 12.41% in the quarter. Funds from operations increased 22.6% year over year to $7.6 million in the first quarter. I am pleased to report double-digit growth in our key first quarter financial results. Revenues increased 19.8% to $19.6 million. Net operating income rose 20.8% to $19 million, representing a margin of 96.8%. And EBITDA increased 18.9% to $16.3 million, equaling a margin of 83.1%. This These results are in excess of our full year targets and underscore our optimism for future performance. In keeping with Vesta's commitment to world-class standards of corporate governance, our board of directors recently, yesterday, approved policies related to company security transactions by board members, directors, and relevant employees in compliance with the regulations established by the Mexican Securities Exchange Commission. We recognize that growth is a key driver of our Vesta Vision 2020 strategy and are strengthening our organizational structure to help facilitate these ambitions. In this way, we are striving to attract more talent, create clear career and development plans, and a new compensation program. Additionally, moving to larger offices is reflective of our intention to scale up Vesta's business, while allowing us to increase collaboration, productivity, and improve branding within an environment that fosters employee satisfaction. Vesta is uniquely positioned to ride the wave of Mexico's economic expansion, and our plans will see us execute on an attractive pipeline to meet strong demand from the manufacturing sector. In the year ahead, we are committed to building on our track record of growth and strong shareholder returns. Thank you very much for your continued trust and support. I will now hand the call over to our CFO, Juan Sotil, for a discussion of our first quarter results.
Thank you, Lorenzo. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining today to discuss our results for the first quarter of 2015. As Lorenzo mentioned, we had a very strong start of the year, both from an operating and financial perspective. During the quarter, we completed construction on two inventory buildings in Toluca, the expansion of a building in Toluca, and two build-to-suits in the Bajío region, which combined added approximately 781,000 square feet to our portfolio. As a result, Vesta's total gross leasable area increased 4.7% to 17.6 million square feet, comprising 113 high-quality industrial assets. Despite this expansion, the first quarter vacancy rate decreased to 12.4% from 12.7% in the fourth quarter of last year. This improvement reflects the leasing of existing buildings in our portfolio, especially in Tijuana. Our 2015 pipeline remains strong, and the investment committee recently approved the construction of two new inventory buildings. The first one is in Tijuana, with a total GLA of around 304,000 square feet, and the second one is in San Miguel de Allende, with a total GLA of approximately 158,000 square feet. Our growth is supported by substantial land reserves, and during the quarter, we added 2.7 million square feet to our reserves in Toluca, in Querétaro, Ciudad Juárez, Guanajuato, San Luis Potosí, the State of Mexico, and Baja California. Turning now to our financial results, I am pleased to report strong double-digit growth in revenues, net operating income, EBITDA, and funds from operation in the quarter. Revenues increased 19.8% year-over-year to 19.6 million. Looking ahead, because of the three quarters of Vesta rental contracts are denominated in U.S. dollars, the impact of the recent depreciation of the Mexican peso on our top-line results should be very limited. In terms of margin, the depreciation of the peso is actually benefiting Vesta and making Mexico even more appealing as a global manufacturing center. Vesta has traditionally had a lean cost structure, and because most of our costs are denominated in local currency, the peso decline has boosted margins further. In the first quarter, operating costs as a share of total rental income decreased by 85 basis points year on year, as rental income on properties grew at a faster rate than increases in operating expenses. Net operating income increased 20.8% year over year to US $19 million in the first 3 months of 2015, while the NOI margin increased 70 basis points to 96.8% due to the improved operating scale. As you know, Vesta is embarking on an ambitious plan to double the size of the company by the year 2020. In order to successfully take advantage of the strong growth potential that we have seen in our sector, we have been strengthening our organizational structure. In the first quarter, this resulted in a 147 basis point increase in administrative expenses as a share of rental income. In the quarter, EBITDA increased 18.9% to $16.3 million, while EBITDA margin decreased to 83.1% from 83.8% in the previous year's first quarter. Income before taxes amounted to $1.1 million compared to $11.6 million recorded in the same quarter last year. As the fourth quarter, the decrease primarily reflects an exchange rate loss and a smaller year-over-year gain on revaluation due to the early phase of construction on new properties. These same factors once again impact our bottom line, resulting in a loss of $3 million in the quarter compared to a profit of $10.7 million in the year-ago period. I am pleased to note that the fourth quarter funds from operation increased 22.6% year-over-year to $7.6 million. Turning to our balance sheet, Vesta cash and cash equivalents amounted to $336.4 million as of the end of the first quarter. Operating activity generated cash flow of $4.6 million during the quarter as well. Investing activities were primarily related to payments for works in progress in the construction of new buildings in Bajío, Toluca, Ciudad Juárez, and Baja California. Total investment for the period amounted to $30.8 million. As of March 31st, the balance of the long-term debt reached $351 million, of which 97.5% represents long-term debt and the remaining 2.5% short-term liabilities. During the quarter, we signed a 7-year, $47.5 million loan agreement with Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. The U.S. dollar facility bears interest at a fixed rate of 4.35, and during the first 3.5 years, the loan service will be interest-only. Thereafter, a monthly amortization and interest payments will be made. The amortization is based on a 30-year schedule. As a reminder, 100% of our debt is denominated in U.S. dollars. Vesta is a leading industrial real estate developer in Mexico, and the success of our first quarter equity offering underscores our strong growth prospects. We have identified large potential development opportunities which we believe will drive our continued expansion under the Vesta Vision 2020 growth plan. The Mexican industrial real estate sector continues to be a key driver of the country's economic expansion, and Vesta is uniquely positioned to take advantage of Mexico's emergence as a global manufacturing center. Backed by our established track record and the proceeds of our recent follow-on, we are confident that the opportunities that lie ahead will lead to continued growth and strong returns to our shareholders. We look forward to updating you on our progress throughout the year. At this point, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers. Melissa, could you please take the questions from the audience?
Thank you. At this point, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Ariel Amar with Itaú BBA. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, all. Thank you for the call and congratulations on the results. I have two questions. The first is regarding, I guess, perhaps the most obvious subject, which is the booming aerospace and automotive industry. Especially the automotive industry, it is quite in the spotlight as of lately. We have seen several investments by several large companies, several large automakers. But what I guess my question is what has been the actual day-to-day operation movements you guys have been seeing the interest on a day-to-day basis, and more importantly, in which specific regions? Because it makes a lot of sense from a top-down perspective to assume that those guys are going to need a supply chain, and that is indeed what I think that is going to happen. But my question is, what are you guys actually seeing so far in the day-to-day operations? I guess that is my first question. And my second question is also is regarding your capital structure. Could you talk a little bit more about the debt negotiation? You did get a very good credit line with Matt this past quarter. But as it is widely known, most of your debt will soon mature. Given you have a very low risk profile, are we correct in assuming that you will probably be favoring long-term debt, which should probably translate into issuance of maybe a bond due to its longer-term nature? What can we expect on that front, and what are the sort of fields you guys are expecting or you guys are aiming? Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ariel, for being in the conference and for your continued interest in Vesta. I would like to try to answer the first question, and then Juan can talk a little bit about the capital structure. What we are seeing in the day-to-day is a booming in Mexico. Sometimes when I get these questions, it's not that I don't track the growth of the country as a whole. Of course, we do track that. But really what we do track is the potential growth and the real growth of the industries, which are basically our targets and our tenants. And having said that, you know that 40% of our portfolio is represented by the automotive and 13% is represented by the aerospace. Being two different industries with two different sizes, one is a low mix, high volume, and the other is a low volume, high mix. The automotive sector, we are just listening to the recent announcements of Toyota and Ford. I just talked about it. That will be $3.5 billion. Those are major investments into the country. And it looks like we are not surprised anymore when these announcements are made because of the frequency of these announcements. Having said that, since the time of those announcements, to the time that they start construction, to the time that they establish and are ready to go, and the time that they start assigning contracts to their main suppliers, it takes several years. And that is why, although these are great, great announcements, because with this we can predict the future, and that's why AMIA, the association related with the automotive sector, have mentioned that Mexico will become one of the top five global manufacturers in the world by 2020, coming from the seventh place that we have today. The scale two places is a major achievement. That reflects the competitiveness and the platform that they have seen in our country. Now, coming back to the suppliers chain, it's exactly like what we face in Nissan. Nissan announced several years ago their investment, I would say 5 years their investment, then they decided to invest, they built their plant, they ended up selecting the developer, and right now is when they are selecting most of the suppliers. And that is how the process works. So, of course, our company is pretty much targeting, and that's why we are acquiring land in places that are either for Tier 1 or Tier 2 supplier chain. And we will be keeping on that target. We want to be ready. We want to be close, as we have done in the past. And we will be searching for these. Of course, we will be competing with other developers, but we feel very strongly about how positioned we are and our competitive advantage as well. Talking about the aerospace industry, this is an industry that has grown at almost 20% a year for the last 10 years. This week, there was the Farnborough event, aerospace event, prepare an event in Mexico, not only to celebrate the 100 years of the Mexican aviation, but also to attract investments into the country. So that was this is the first time that Mexico organizes these kind of events. And of course, we will be present in Le Bourget, as we always do every year in Le Bourget and Farnborough, which we have contact with potential companies that are in the process of deciding to come to Mexico. This industry is expected to grow from $6 billion of exports to $12 billion of exports by 2020. So you can imagine the potential that we see being two different sizes of industries, and Mexico, I would say, is still in the early phases of the potential that we have. Now I will turn to Juan to talk a little bit about the capital structure and the loans.
Ariel, a very good question. Let me tell you, as we have talked in the past, Vesta's capital structure really, for this Vesta 2020 plan, really encompasses improving our debt-to-asset ratio from the below 29% that it's currently to somewhere in the 40% area throughout the following years. As I have said before, the new debt that we will issue will favor very long-term maturities. As to whether the debt will be a bond or a structured debt that, like the one we did with MetLife, really depends on market conditions and especially the spread between what we can get on the bond market vis-a-vis what we can get on the private debt market. We tend to favor bond issuance as it gives the company more flexibility, but we also are conscious of the cost. As you saw, the terms that we got from MetLife are incredibly attractive. We raised the MetLife debt to underline the capacity of Vesta to access currently the debt markets. We did it in that train of thought. I think that that's very good news to our shareholders. And even furthermore, given the recent announcements of GE, our primary lender, well, it should give us comfort that we have a lot of alternatives to source debt for the growth of Vesta, not only GE. In fact, I can tell you that yesterday we had a very productive meeting with Blackstone. They came to Mexico. GE is our primary lender, and we are one of the primary borrowers for the GE portfolio. So it was only natural that the acquirer of that portfolio wanted to take a look at the primary assets, and we are one of them. So we had a very productive meeting. I think that they are a top-quality company, and I think that they can support our growth if the rate and the terms of the loans we can structure with them are competitive, no? I underline the strategy of the MetLife facility. I said that that was a benchmark in our mind and that we hope that they could meet those targets, no? So I am very optimistic about the ability of Vesta to access the markets. And yes, what you can expect from us is accessing the debt markets judiciously over the next 3 or 4 years. Today we have an ample amount of cash, so that won't happen soon. And when we do, for example, next year, just to renegotiate the maturing debt, we will take a look at long-term maturities, 10 years probably.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Lorenzo, and thank you, Juan, for the very clear answers.
And thank you, Ariel.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Marimar Torreblanca with UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thanks for the call, guys, and congratulations on the quarter. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, we saw the administration expenses going up this quarter year over year by around 36%. What level should we expect for this line going forward? Is this a level that you feel comfortable you'll maintain for the next year or so? And the second one is, considering your development pipeline, how do you see vacancy evolve for the rest of the year and perhaps even for next year?
Okay, Marimar, let me try to address those two questions. I will talk first about admin expenses, and perhaps Lorenzo and I can talk about vacancy and what we can expect. We have been always very conscious about cost and cost control within our company. However, today, what we plan to do is to double the size of the portfolio, roughly speaking, from last year's ending GLA to 2020, even a little bit more, 2020 planned GLA. That requires a substantial investments in systems, in people, in infrastructure of the company, and as we did with the capital, which we start with a solid base, that's what we exactly what we're trying to do. Basically, put our foot on what we need to have in terms of people, staffing, both at the central office and the regional. As we have talked with you in the past, Vesta is unique in the sense that we have a regional presence
which really fosters our growth and our contact with our current clients. In this process, we as part of a major change in doing business, we are opening a new area in the company for asset management, because we want to focus our regional managers in the leasing of new space and in the finding of new opportunities. And we're opening a new area in the company that will take care of our existing portfolio and will take care of our existing client base. That is a major change in the way we do business. I think it focuses the abilities of our regional directors on selling, which they are top-notch execution team, and it focuses a specialized and small team of people on taking care of our customer base. As we have talked in the past, more than 60% of our growth comes from taking care of our fantastic customer base, and we want to devote a professional team to do just that. So that is the one of the major changes that we're implementing. I also want to bring your attention, Marimar, in the implications of our new compensation system. And I think that it's worthwhile for all of you to take into account what happens with the new compensation system in our income statement. As you know, on our first shareholder meeting of this year, the one that approved our follow-on, it has a provision that the shareholders gave management a new compensation plan. This compensation plan was structured under the advice of Green Street Associates. It is a long-term compensation plan, and it has to do with the performance of the shares of Vesta vis-a-vis our peers in the Mexican market. The basic concept and the basic thrust of this compensation plan means that if the relative returns, if the total relative returns, share appreciation plus dividends of Vesta against its peers on a relative basis is top notch, then compensation will be top notch for management. That is putting the interest of the shareholders on top of the returns as of management. For that purpose, the shareholders authorize the issuance, the potential issuance of around 10.8 million shares over the next 6 years. Those shares have been issued, but are not paid. So today, they have no dilutive effect. If you go to note 14 of our financial statements, you will see a brief explanation of this plan, and it states that the share-based payments spent for the 3 months of this year amounted to $329,000. This expense is part of my admin expenses, and it is an important chunk. I have to underline that this expense is not a cash flow expense. So please take that into account when we calculate EBITDA and FFO and what have you, no? Therefore, if we express those numbers in terms of per share amounts, we have to take into account the corresponding implicit dilution. The new long-term compensation plan is not a cash flow, but it will dilute shareholders. That's why the shareholder assembly authorized the issuance of those shares. So please take that into account when you do the analytics. And I think this is